Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
God is my source. Now, what is a source? The word source, in the Greek, it means a spring. You know what a spring is? Where we have a vein of water, for example, that would be a spring. Or vein. A principal, origin, or foundation of something. Or seed or root. It means that God then is our source, our seed, and the root of everything. So everything that is in us or of us is from God. In Acts 17, let's see a biblical principle of what the Bible says. In Acts 17, verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Another way of understanding this first phrase is, in Him we have our all. In Christ, we are one with Him. We are one with the Lord Jesus. In Christ. In Christ we are. In Christ we move. He is the origin of everything. He is the source of all that we do, supposedly. Now, one of the areas that we're going to be touching on and studying is that we are administrators of what God gives us. Now, the question is, are you a good administrator of who we are or what God has given us? So, touching on God being our source, let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 50. Verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now go to Malachi. We'll be returning to this in a bit. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Malachi chapter 1. Verse 2, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, if you read all of Malachi, it's just the book has only 4 chapters in it. God always says something and then they'd make a stupid question in return. Don't read it right now, but after you can read it, it's just 4 chapters. Like this one, for example. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, that the people of Israel in this case, in what way? In what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I hated, and I laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. But I want you to see this. Now, go to verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you, priest, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Remember what I said. The Lord says something, and then they'd ask something stupid. In what way? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame or unsick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? So you can understand here, if God then truly your source, the majority of Christians always claim and say, oh, God is my everything. Or they say, my God and my Lord. So when they say God is everything for them, then here we see something. These people, and many Christians are this way, they do what they want to do. They take their own decisions. They decide what to do. Now, do you think that's giving honor to God if God were to be your source? Amen. There are many reasons for our suffering in this human world. One of them is Satan. Satan. That's one. Etc. Many areas, he says in John, for he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. For the devil comes against us. That one you can't avoid. The only way you can avoid it, by dying. That's the only way that you can avoid it. But Satan is limited with everything now that he will be coming against you. You cannot say that it is Satan necessarily. Another reason of our suffering or of problems against us is you can also see and say that it's the world, people in the world. Now, some examples. There are certain countries that have certain governors, and those governors are influenced by the devil. They take bad decisions. The economy falls in a country, or there is no order, there is no law. Some of them have anarchy, where there is no law, there is anarchy. Or there is semi-anarchy. In other words, there is no law or order. It could be in a country, it could be in certain areas of that country, perhaps not the whole country itself. There will be people that will make fun of you because you are a child of God, because you profess the name of Jesus. Problems where you weren't even involved in to begin. Remember the example that I gave you on Tuesday, that piece of land that I was fighting over? Remember? Well, when that deal was made, I wasn't even a child of God yet. I wasn't even involved. So first, it's Satan, then the other, the world. Yeah, first Satan, then the world. The third, us, our decisions, our own decisions. And I'll tell you something. The majority of the problems will be because of our decisions. The majority. In many, it will be Satan. Certain cases. In other cases, the world against you. And the third, us. Now, in the three, Satan is involved. He will move things. But if you and I then are not hearing from God, and you and I truly believe that He is our source, one of the areas that God is in our source then is in wisdom. And we have it here. Amen. But what do you do with that wisdom? How do you administer that wisdom? You cannot administer the Holy Spirit, but you can administer His presence. Brother Hughes, but Sister Mireya says that God spoke to her and told her this and that. And how come He doesn't speak to me? Well, do you spend time with the Lord? Well, it's because of my job and my kids. Brother Hughes, Sister Nubia says that she received the idea of the soap and shampoo when she was praying. And how come God doesn't give me any ideas? Again, how do you administer your time? How do you administer the presence of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's because of my job and my family. And I have to work overtime. I have to do this and that. Well, if God then is your source, which He is, then how do you administer the good that is in you.
Amen.
How do you administer it? One example, Isaiah 57. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. I create the fruit of the lips. 57, verse
19.
What are you doing with the ability that God gave you, which the Bible says in Proverbs? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you doing with that? Because perhaps here at church you come and say, oh, amen, how are you? Well, I'm blessed. Glory to God. Well, that's what I call a church talk. That's how we talk church. How are you, brother? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm so good. We were to arrive. Oh, blessings. 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 And how are you? Oh, I'm blessed.
Church talk.
That's church talk. Now the question is, if you are a born-again child of God and have the Holy Spirit in you, that's how you should speak in all areas, correct? Because if the presence of God is in you, then that's how you should always talk. In every area, be it in your work, be it with your friends, or with your family, right? So then what are you doing with what God gave you? What do you do with the Holy Spirit that is in you, with those words, with the teaching, with the revelation that God gives you? How do you use it? Do you use it, for example, where I come from? Other preachers would use it from years ago where I was born again, where I would always hear the Holy Spirit always revealed something to them, but for other people, but never for themselves. So it was always for everyone else. Everyone else was wrong and they were fine. You know, they weren't. They were always, everything else was good with them. Everyone else had issues. They were fine. But no, with the Holy, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, He reveals something to you because it's from the inside out. He always tells you to make changes first, and then in your home, and in your family. But it's from the inside out. That's how the kingdom works. From the inside out. Proverbs chapter 18, we just saw it right now, verse 20, 21 and 22. Proverbs 18:20, 21, and 22. A man's stomach shall be filled, shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Now, the man's stomach, human beings here, man and woman, shall be satisfied from the fruit of his lips. 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And there are Christians who speak like people of the world. They say F this, F that. And Christians, the same. And then they say, why do I always struggle? Well, because they always attract cursing to them. Because they don't understand that God is their source of blessing. Amen. They haven't understood. And if you speak with those Christians, they'll always tell you, for example, they'll give you hundreds and thousands of excuses. And there's always an excuse for something. Someone else is wrong. The rest of the world is to blame, except for themselves. They will never want to take responsibility. And the years will pass, and they'll be worse. And many of them, with time, be it the devil kills them for giving so much place to him in their lives, or they end up being cold in the world, lost. Amen. It's a very small group. It doesn't matter what you think, be it who you are. I don't know if it's going to sound perhaps boastful, but it says if you're going to glorify, glorify yourself in the Lord. And I always give glory to God. But I am of that small group that by the grace of God, I will continue until the end. I will finish my life in the Lord. And the day that I die, be it if the rapture does not occur, I will die in the Lord, filled with life. That is my goal. And the rest shall be added to me. When you understand that God is your source, He is your provider. When you understand that, then you'll seek Him. You'll seek Him in prayer and He will guide you. But while you don't seek Him, He won't speak to you. And you'll take decisions and yeah, everything will be fine. I've noticed something, perhaps you have as well. There are people where you can help them, bless them, perhaps sow things in their lives, treat them nicely for years. But say or do something that they don't agree with. You know why? You know why they're like that? Because that's the relationship they have with God. They always think that God is accusing them. And that's very wrong to have that sin conscience. Because those type of Christians, they relate with God based on, oh, I did this so well. Oh, glory to God. My little God is so happy with me. But then they do something wrong. They make a mistake and quickly they're condemned. With a long face, they're never happy with anything. Because that's how they relate. The relationship that they have with God is based on blame. Well, guess what? If you have a relationship with God, for example, if you have a relationship with God based on your own merits, in something you're going to end up making a mistake and you'll quickly be condemned and quickly you'll condemn someone else for it. You understand? You'll always condemn someone else. Amen. Again, there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. But what I'm saying here is, what is your relationship with God? One thing is to correct someone, another is to condemn someone. You understand the difference? Those types of people then, if you do something that they don't agree with, or you say something, they quickly get offended, forget about it. You know why? Because God truly is not their source. Another way that you can understand this, if you are of the people where you need someone to give you something, be it a car, money, or clothes, to have a smile from ear to ear, amen. But when something like that doesn't happen to you, you're constantly frustrated, you're saddened, it's because God is not your source. You're moved by things only. Now, who was I sharing this with before starting the service? I think it was with Rene, if I'm not mistaken. When Nuvia and I started, when we lived in Mesa, we would go to our pastor's church in Tucson. We'd go in an old worn-out car with no air conditioning. It was quickly to get mad. It was easy to quickly get mad and to lose control, to quickly get angry with the extreme heat that there was from Phoenix to Tucson. But you know what we would do? We'd get out of church, and before going back to Mesa, we'd arrive at a Burger King. I'm giving them free publicity with this. And back then, we bought a $1 hamburger. And we split it in half, remember, love? And then we'd arrive at a gas station across the street, and we'd buy a soda. Forget about the fries. I mean, what? No such thing as a combo for us. Just a hamburger. Amen. And do you want this? Isn't that? No. Just the number one, the two. No, I just want the one, but the one hamburger. That's how we started. Just one hamburger. And not with nothing on it? No, yeah, no. And is it cheaper if you remove what? If it was just the bread and patty, I mean, with that. Well, the good thing is that they charge you the same, but if I had the option. But then from there, we'd go and buy a soda, a $1 fountain drink back then. And that's how we share it. From Tucson to Mesa. But we were happy. But it hurt us in our heart. It hurt us in our heart. Almost cried when we couldn't go to church. And then we arrive and then buy the cassette. And we bought it. There were cassettes back then. Nothing of, oh, well, can I have the link or can I have the archive or something? Oh, well, I'll watch you online. But then those disobey who those, how it says in the Bible, do not stop congregating like those that have accustomed to it. But then Nubia and I would arrive, and then we'd study what our pastor had spoken. We gave it value because we knew that God was speaking to us through that teaching, and we valued the word to this day, which is why what I spoke on Tuesday, if your word had not been my delight. Amen. But when we stop valuing things because there's more information now the era of the internet and the era of this and that, we stop honoring and valuing God. Do you see what right now in Malachi? And we're no longer thankful like we were before. You know what I do every Sunday? Every Sunday. You know what is every Sunday? Every Sunday. When I don't travel going on to other places to preach, but on Sunday, when I arrive home, I remove the clothes that I had for that Sunday service. I have more casual clothes on, and then I turn my television because I have Fred Price and Brother Copeland recorded. It's the same thing. And what new thing are you learning, Brother Hughes? The same that I learned years ago. It's what's helped me at almost 50 years of age to be healed and not have to be depending on medication. I sometimes have to obligate myself to go to a doctor to have a checkup just out of wisdom. But not relying on it. Praise the Lord. Because it's been the same foundations. But Nuvia and I are thankful, and we practice that thankfulness. And we speak, and which is why we honor our mentors in the faith, which is why we sow in them money, I'm speaking. Oh, the Brother Copeland has too much money, someone told me once. Well, that's why he's good ground. Those are religious ideas, you see. A Christian told me years ago, well, I give in this poor little old church because, you know, well, the church that I go to, we're very good financially. Does the Bible say that? No, it doesn't. So you're not honoring neither God nor the church in which God placed you to feed you spiritually. Those are ideas of man. It's when, okay, remember that stick that I brought last time as an example? That's religion. It's them doing their own religion. Making their own religion, but that's very wrong. From the fruit, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. 20 and 21, Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Now help me with the New Living Translation, please. Wise words satisfy, what is it, 18? 20, 21, yes? Yes, that's correct. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The wise words bring satisfaction. 21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. There you go. If you're of those people, man, you can't close your mouth for anything. Sometimes not be good to be very talkative. Not the Bible doesn't say that we shouldn't talk. The Bible says when we speak too much. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Don't just know verses out of memory, which is good, but have a revelation. You know how you'll have a revelation? Acting on them. Proverbs what? 10. Verse 19. In the multitude of words, there we go, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. When you have an issue, you have a problem and you talk with your friends because, oh, I'm talking with you just so I can breathe. When will you understand? If you're choked up on something, it's because you don't choke up on it beforehand. Just don't choke up on it. Simple as that. You have this Holy Spirit inside of you. But I feel like I'm choking up, Brother Hughes. I need to talk. Well, very simple. Start speaking in other tongues. Those ideas of the world of, oh, it's because I need to share it with someone. Well, are you a child of the devil? Or are you a daughter of the devil? Or what are you then? If you're a child of God, act like a child of God. Why don't you believe what the Bible says? That God is your source of peace. Thank you, Lord. Just don't choke up. You won't see me with that nonsense of, oh, I need to let it out or something. Years ago that I don't do that. If I need to speak with my pastor or mentors in the faith to see if perhaps I'm taking the correct decision, or to help me pray for something, I say, hey, look, this is what's going on. I say it quickly, and let's pray about it. That's it. There's no difference. The same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you lives in me. Amen. Simple as that. God is your source. Glory to God. God is in you. God loves you unconditionally. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror by him who loved you. So what's the issue then? What's the issue? The issue is, but it's very difficult to sometimes say this, but I have to. The problem is never God. Oh, so does that mean then that I'm the problem? No, I'm not trying to say it. I'm affirming it. What am I going to say that God is your problem? Well, what do you want me to say? God is the problem? No, God is never the problem. The problem is that we created ourselves with our unbelief, with our mouth, and a way of being. Amen. And there will be people, I've known some people for more than 20 years have not changed. Same thing. And I'm talking about Christians, in quotation marks. Some of them will leave this earth, as many of us will, as all of us will one day die. But the whole life that they spent here on this earth was miserable. You think that's the perfect will of God for them? You think God created you that way? No, God did not create us for that. Sometimes it's difficult, yes. But as I said, when Nubia and I started, it was difficult. We'd arrive at Mesa almost burnt up. But, you know, it was the same word for many years. And we were joyful. You are a spirit. You possess a soul living inside of a fleshly body, but you have delegated authority. You can speak the promises of God. And then if you need to know what to do in a certain situation, you can pray and use the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. The same thing for years. And it's the same thing that has helped us to this day. And we were talking, and Nuvi and I went to a certain place here in Douglas. We were talking about something, and I said, figure out the date of something. I'll tell you what I'm referring to later. And he said, you know what? It's going to be a great testimony to share. But when you use the words that God has given you, God is your source. But again, Christians, talking about Christians, oh, it's because work, and it's because of this and that and this and the other. Well, change your mouth, you'll change your circumstances. There's a delegated authority in you. Hallelujah. Use your words. If there's too much pressure in your life, in your mind, in your head, something happened, use your authority. Use the authority you have. Speak and say, Satan, leave in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stop bothering me. I order it in the name of Jesus. Amen. With authority. And don't be giving more place to the devil in that area.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms. Well, before Psalms, there's another area I'd like to go to. Because we started there, correct? Where do we start right now? What was the first verse? Acts. In Acts? Okay, thank you. No, but before that. Psalms? Yes, thank you. Psalms 50, that's where we were at. 57. So Psalms 50 now, verse 7. You have to make an effort. Psalms 50, verse 7. Glory to God. I know it's not easy sometimes. Look, my brothers and sisters. Any dead fish can flow with the stream. Amen. Any dead fish can flow with the stream. But if you want to go upstream, you got to flow against it. Yeah, there are some Christians who are just comfortable with a miracle here and then another one here after 2 or 3 years. Something good's going to happen and then something over there. Hey, they live from one thing over here, another good thing here, every other while. Yeah, any old blind squirrel can catch a nut every other occasion. But if your life is not supernatural, then it's too superficial and too ungodly. Too natural. Just experimenting the peace of God. Wow. It's supernatural. Now, chapter 50. Again, similar to what he spoke in Malachi, they would not give honor to God. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. Verse 7. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. Verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all its fullness. So as we saw here, as you know, I assume, as you all know, this was talking about the sacrifices that the people of Israel were doing. These were animals that represented the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand. God placed this so that he could be able to bless them. If you remember, Adam delivered the kingdom into the hands of Satan. So now God wanted to bless them, but legally he could not. So he placed the law and he placed sacrifices or methods to be able to be manifested and bless them in all areas, which includes financially. But they now were boasting about this, because notice what it says here in verse 9. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine. You see, Israel thought that God was the one that needed the sacrifices. And they're like, oh, there's God right there bothering about us about more sacrifices. And then still, he still asks in the law that, you know, the best bull. You know, he doesn't want one that's one-eyed or perhaps is missing a leg or has a twisted tail. No, they want the best. But these foolish guys did not understand that he was showing them honor. So it was the best for them because through that honor, God could bless them. It was all for them. So one day God got mad and said, hey, you know what? If I were hungry, verse 12, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Here's the explanation, verse 13. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Like, do I want it, is what he was asking. They weren't understanding. It's for your own benefit. But they had not understood that God was their own source. And there are many Christians like that in this world. They think that everything that they have is because they're hard workers, and they speak the same as people of the world. Have you not spoken with people of the world when they're boastful about what they have and everything that they've done? Someone here, I'm not going to say the name because perhaps you know him, but he was telling me everything that he had done. He said, I did this and I was able to buy 2 houses and this and that. And since I was a young kid, I was very hard working. And then he ended up saying, because I am a man that I made myself. And I said, who interrupted you? He didn't like that very much. Who interrupted you? They're very presumptuous people. The Lord said, will I eat the flesh of those bulls? No, it was for their own good. It was God, by the grace of God, we are where we are. And if you want to see a greater grace, a greater manifestation of the grace of God, a greater mercy in your life, you need to now apply. Remember, weeks ago, I spoke of the faith of Jesus in us. The principal characteristic of that faith is that you have to use it. Amen. You have to use it. If not, it doesn't work for anything. They're inside of you. It won't produce anything. It's just going to stay in a saving faith that just saves you. You die, you go to heaven, and that's it. But from there, it won't produce the benefits of the kingdom of God here. Amen. Are you understanding now? You have to use that faith of the God, of the Lord God in you. Well, these people weren't understanding this. And there are millions, but millions of Christians in that position. And then they have sayings like this, for example, I'm leaving everything in the hands of God. Well, what do you refer with that? Yeah, there are things that you have to leave in the hands of God. But what are you referring with that? Because if it means that you have to do your part and then you say, oh, I'm leaving it in the hands of God. Well, God is going to say, well, what am I doing? What are you doing on this earth? You have the authority. Now, I'm not saying to do things to help God. Okay, remember in the Bible that the Lord promised Abraham and Sarah a son? And what did Abraham do? You remember. And what did Sarah do? They both had to do something here. What did Sarah say? Oh, well, since I'm too old, and you as well, Abraham. Well, there's my mistress, Hagar. Who remembers that? That's helping God. And that's very wrong. God had never told them to do that. To do your part here, this earth, it does not mean to help God. Again, but once you stay quiet like that, that means that's how you thought it. That's why, again, to do your part does not mean to help God. Better said, helping God is when you're doing something that God did not tell you and that you assume that you have to do this, that God then could help you. But no. To do your part means to obey first what you know to do and what is written here on this Bible. That's one. And then to do your part is when you pray and you seek the direction of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is guiding you. That's doing your part. Amen. Glory to God. Are you understanding that part now? Yeah, we have something to do, but for example, I don't do things in my personal life without God telling me first. Amen. Tomorrow I'm going to be in Phoenix in a church preaching. You know what? I pray to go. Because things can happen here driving 4 hours on the I-10. Yeah, of course I confess protection. But there are no verses that tell me that I have to go to every single place to preach. Or to a specific place. So I seek the direction of the Lord. Do you want me to go, Lord? I was invited and I said, give me some days. And then days later, I answered and I said, yes, I'll be there. Amen. These people thought then that they were doing God a favor. But no, it's not like that. God has placed us here as children, as co-inheritors, but also as administrators, as stewards. How are you administrating everything that God has given you? Just with your time, I'm going to go with these questions. I'll start with, how do you administer your time? How do you administer your finances? How do you administer your children to those who are parents? Or your children still live there with you? You just let them be because, you know, you want to? Do you let the system of the world and the school system educate them? Or do you take authority as a father and as parents? The Bible says to train the child in his ways. And that word to instruct, translated, train. You have to teach and train your children. But the errors that many parents do is one thing. When there is ignorance, you have to teach and train. You cannot ask something of someone who does not know. You have to teach them first. But when there is disobedience, then you have to discipline. There's a difference. And many parents do not discipline. Their children behave bad in front of people. They give a bad report. But they're not going to discipline them because they say, oh, it hurts me. And those same parents say that they love them. The Bible says that he who does not correct his child, the Bible says that you truly do not love him, that you hate him. God says that. So many children, as they're young, they do whatever they want. Have you seen the tantrums that some kids do there at Walmart? Throwing kicks and hands all over the place, hitting the mama if they don't give them something that they want. Forget it, my children never did that. Anthony did it once when he was 18 years ago? He was about 2 years old. Quickly. Let's say that it was about 18 years ago. He's 20 right now. So Nubia said, hey, just hold on. Right there in Walmart, went to the bathroom, dropped his pants, gave him a good spanking. Bare butt. Amen. So that the body can feel what it's receiving. Because if not, just, you want to hit him with a sock or something. Amen. Oh man, forget that I would get a bad report here. Something were to happen. They knew. Once they saw us talking about with those who gave us that report, they already started crying from here. But you know why? Because they knew that at home, we were going to find out what happened. And nothing I'm going to pray so my dad can forget about it. No. They knew that it wasn't going to happen. But what happens when many foolish wives seeking of the father, he wants to correct and the mom says, don't touch my children. You see, foolish mothers and Christians or vice versa. The mother, when she wants to put order, the dad, no, don't touch them. It's foolish. Foolish people. And then problems come. And then they say, well, where's God? It's a lie what Sister Mireya says of the Holy Spirit. It's just lies what Pastor Nubia and Pastor Hugh say. They probably just works for them only. No, it's here in the Bible. It's right there. But what do you do with what God gives you? That's administrating. With your time? What do you do? What do you do with your finances? Do you spend unnecessarily like the rest of the world? There are Christians that don't even honor God. There are Christians that will never, when they go, if it is that they go to church, first of all, they will never, God will never see a cent from them. They're more broke than a rat. They're more broke than the Ten Commandments of Moses. They never have anything because they are never willing to believe God for more. When Nuvi and I started, we didn't have money. The tires of our car were as smooth as a baby's butt. And we'd go from Mesa to Tucson with our pastor, who is now in heaven. And we saw there, and we believed God, which is why we actually bought that $1 burger, because we had more cash with us. But you know what? It was offering for the Lord. Because we saw our pastor that is in heaven taught me, and then my mentors in the faith reinforced it. That money, God sees it as a seed. I'll share a story with you quickly. The good testimony of a brother in Christ that I know. That brother in Christ, years ago, shared with Nubian and I. You know what a grinder is that you use to cut steel or rock? And it has debris that flies off. And he worked in construction and an employee. And as that grinder was cutting, those pieces of debris would burn his hands. Because the cheapest gloves were 99 cents back then. Or a dollar. But it's what he had in his pocket to go to church and then give an offering. Because he was learning the same as Nubi and I. And that man and his wife ended up having a great construction company that generated hundreds of thousands of dollars every year, and with employees. And they employed brothers in Christ from that same church. And he bought a home and paid it cash. Because they honored God, because he knew what to do and how to administer and give with faith. Not giving just like that. They learned to honor God. And here's this. Now, Genesis. And then they would see them, and other Christians would say, it's because he has good luck. Have you heard of that stupidity? Shut up about good luck. You and I operate by faith in the grace of God. We operate under the blessing of God. We operate under the favor of God. Use those words, not words of luck or things like that. That's what pagans speak. You are a child of God. You speak the language of the kingdom. Amen. You say, by the grace of God, with the favor. Grace and favor are the same thing. With the favor of God. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Things like that. By the blessing of the Lord in my life. Don't say, oh, well, let's see. Let's see. Ojalá, things of that. Spit that out of your mouth in the name of Jesus. Spit it out. I'm saying it right now and it's disgusting me. Which is why I'm spitting it out. Don't speak like that, brothers and sisters. Let pagans speak that way, not you. Genesis chapter 8. Verse 22. Praise the Lord that I came to church. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night. When winter comes, I say, glory to God. I like it more than the heat. The heat, and it says here, I say, well, glory to God, I receive it, because the Lord says, Cold and heat, but I prefer the cold. I know, Jerry loves the heat. Remember when we went to our church camp? Over here, when we went up. Yeah, we went all together, correct? Then we went to a higher spot there in the mountains where there was a waterfall. And it was a humid heat. You should have seen Jerry just lying down using the stones as a pillow. I was covered up hoping not to melt. And this guy, I'll show you how he was. I'm going to have to tell him, Jerry. I'm sorry. Like this. Man, that extreme heat. And this man was just, wow, he was just shining of the heat. Just by seeing him, I got hotter. And like nothing, I said, aren't you hot? He said, no, this heat is barely any good for me. Man, you know, I had my hat on, a handkerchief, sunglasses. I was melting there. This guy was comfortable. But now comes the time that I like. Hallelujah. Amen. But notice what this says now. Notice that first it starts in 22, seed time and harvest. Now the New Living Translation. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. New International Version. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. Amen. Nothing will change. It's in Genesis. So what's the characteristic here? That it was before the law of Moses. Has nothing to do then with law or grace. Nothing. They are laws that are unchangeable. They do not change. There are laws that will not change. So then what are you doing with everything that God has given you? Amen. As I shared with you before, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I can tell you, I won't share the name. Well, I will. You know, Brother Osmar and Sister Patty, they're a couple from Tucson. They started from the bottom, from nothing. But you knew where they lived. At one time, they lived in a trailer park. For some reason, I went there. But you knew. They just told me where they lived. You know, it was the cleanest trailer that there was. It was the cleanest house. If I remember correctly, it was a chain link fence. Small, but it was nicely made. The cleanest house. Everything else was a mess. Theirs was the cleanest. They didn't have much, but they started taking care of what they had. Last time I got on a spaceship, on his car, paid it cash, brand new, telling me the benefits of paying in cash. And saving interest, and apart from that, they give you benefits. And we were riding along together. But years ago, he didn't have anything. The house that they have now, they don't know it. A precious, beautiful house. What, in about 5 acres or so? And how the houses are now, I think it's about $1 million or so. But that man and his wife, they believe and forget there won't be a human force on this earth where you can tell them, oh, that of tithing and giving and seed, forget about it. He has a greater revelation. It's not just having it. He has a revelation of the seed and the power that there is in seed. It's not just that. Because there are people, I've known people, and if I were to say their names of those people, Nubia knows who I'm referring to, Brother Osmar knows who I'm referring to. They'd give you a giant list of giving and tithing. There were some great scholars in giving. But ask them if they gave, or figure out in their churches if they gave. Not a single dollar split in half. No, those people are just talk. All mouth. That's a Greek. It's a Greek word. Just weedy weedy, just talking. No. I'm saying that Brother Osman had a revelation, but he didn't just teach it. He practiced it. He practices it to this day. And people will say, well, yeah, of course. It's because he has a lot. No, Nubia and I started, and many, and these people that I just mentioned, and many, we started giving when we didn't have anything. We gave up what we had. That mentality of, oh, it's someone said, I'm too ho. Not even finishing it. It's just a lie, brothers and sisters. A lie. God is the same God for the poor, for the rich, for the middle class, for the high class, low class, the third floor class, every class. God is the same. It's based on what you believe. On what you give, God will multiply what you have. And from there, you'll start growing. And every time, He will multiply and give more and more and more. Every church that I go to preach asks me the same question. How much will you charge us, Brother Hughes, for coming? You know what I tell them? Nothing. Zero. I say, if you want to sow something in me, sow what the Lord tells you. That's how I've done it for years. And you know what one pastor told me? Well, yes, Brother Hughes. I don't know where they get this idea. But it's because you can do it because it's very easy when you're a pastor of a mega church. And he was laughing. I said, a mega? What? What is that? You think we're not a mega church? I don't know where you get that idea from. Well, I checked your website. You're in television, radio, this and that. The website that you have so complete. How do you do it? By the grace of God. And because God has placed people, generous people, faith partners that live outside of Douglas, that feed from it, that we feed them with the word and value the word that is given to them. But not a single one. When have I told you? Let's see how much are you going to give. Let's see. Come on, split it. Never. And Nubia and I are the first givers here. I'm not going to tell you to do something that Nubia and I do not exercise. Amen. But what are you doing then with what God has given you? So this will continue. This will grow. And I'll close with this. Mark 4, speaking of seed. Glory to God. Administer your words well. Administer the belief, your belief with the word of God. Administer your time. Amen. Administer your finances. Administer your words. Administer that presence of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Don't be listening. Don't you see the world? Look at the world. Look at everything that they listen to. That horrendous music. All glorifying everything but God. Mark 4, verse 26. This is how the kingdom operates. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. That seed of what? Your seed. How about your words are seeds? Remember how we studied? Words are seed. Your time is seed. The money that God gives you is seed. Amen. It'll grow. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself. That by itself in the Greek could be translated to automatically. Automatos is where we get it from in the Greek. So we could say, for the earth yields crops automatically. But that fruit will depend on what? On the seed. One more time. That fruit will depend on what? On the seed. There's no seed. There's no fruit. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. Hallelujah. for everything. You put time, seed that you have, and there will be a harvest. And I'll give you a testimony, but Rene shared that he lost, what, 35 pounds? To lose 35 pounds, that's a good amount of effort. So there's a seed, and there's a what, fruit. Amen. Everything that you do. When I see here in Douglas what's happening with the youth lost in the world, quickly I think, instead of just saying, look at those kids, I quickly say, where are those parents? When I arrive at a gas station, they're on A Avenue and 18th Street last time. A kid, perhaps, what, 18, 19 years of age? A boy, but dressed completely and with makeup like a girl. At 11:30 at night, what is he doing? Where are his parents? But that's what the world is promoting now. And if your children are young now and are under your roof, under your authority, this moment, if you think that it's horrible right now, in 10, 15 years, it'll be worse. But God is not in the business of scaring you. He's in the business of warning and teaching you with the word. And if I could have 4 kids go forward in life, my kids are not lost in the world, what is the difference then? The difference is how you administer what God has given you. Your mouth, at church, in your home, your way of acting, your way of speaking, your time, your example, correction. Kids think that it's just having kids and that's it. Wife is pregnant, oh, the baby shower and this, and oh, it's a boy, and then that blue smoke that they do, and then with the girl, oh, the pink smoke, and oh, how nice with their diapers and this and that, and photos on Facebook and social media, and that's it. They think that that's it. Well, do you think that's it? And that, just that, just having kids? I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm not comparing anyone, but brothers and sisters, even the kid, even animals have children. It's not just having children. There's a responsibility with God. Have them go forward in life. Amen. And parents could see their kids doing something and, oh, nothing. They're never going to correct them. They're never going to teach them morals. Less now. A parent once told me, a couple once told me, well, according to me, the school was going to educate them. They don't even know how to say good morning or good evening. Good afternoon. Good night. True education, brothers and sisters, starts at home. And I'll tell you something, having kids is not just that, it's a great responsibility. From the moment that they're born, while they're under your roof, they're a great responsibility. And the parents have this stupid idea, especially when they're 16, 15 years old. Well, they're old enough now. It's when they're most immature are. And then they're 18 years old, it's when the most immature they are. They're a great responsibility. You know what I've heard from Christian parents? One said to me, remember, even their mouth, the mouth that they have to talk, they sound like people of the world. I'm going to die so that they can grow up. I'm going to die now so that they can have 18 years old, that they can fix it by themselves. Those are the Christian parents of today. Because they don't let the Bible. Oh, that's for sure. They understand Facebook and YouTube and the status of I don't know what. I think a pastor once shared about the status of how WhatsApp works. I didn't even understand what they were talking about. I thought I understood state of Arizona. They know how to move photos, and they even know how to move those filters so that they can look better. Because you look at them in person and you say, oh my God. Here in the photo, they look different. You see them in person. Amen. They know that for sure. You know how to move things around here at baseball and not here in the park. And I'm not saying that that's wrong or that's a sin. What I'm saying is that's the emphasis that they have. But nothing spiritual. And many of those youth will end up dead, end up in jails, end up in hospitals, psychiatric hospitals. Many of them will end up wrong in life. And many of their Christian parents who were sometime in church, serving God, loving God, will be blaming God, saying, where was God? Why did God permit this to happen? But many times those parents won't see it. They're so blind. They're so blind in their own love, in their own ideas, that they're never going to change. Not because God can't change them. It's because they don't want to change. Hallelujah. And I encourage all of you, to not be that way. To be different. That you use everything that has been given to you for good. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand on your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Want me to pray for you? Amen. For those who didn't say anything, the prayer is not for you. For those who did not say. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Are you going to pray for me for tomorrow, the trip that I'm going to make? Then I'm going to come back at night. I want to arrive here in Douglas. I'm going to arrive 2 or 3 in the morning. The pastors that invite me, we'll stay to have dinner. Amen. And then they come here. Thank you, Lord. The prayer that you can have for me is this. Guard his mouth, Lord. Yes, my wife says yes. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your truth and for your word. Holy Father, we thank you, we bless you. We give you the honor. Thank you for your presence, Lord, in this place. Thank you because you love us. And thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, which brings us conviction and revelation to our lives. I speak that peace that surpasses all understanding, where the scripture says, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, I speak your peace over your children, over those families, in their homes. And I thank you for every single one of them and their lives. And in the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, whatever perverse work of Satan, whatever perverse work of the enemy falls now. And I speak that peace. And by faith, I speak a greater mercy for situations that can be happening. Your mercy, Lord, manifests in their life. And thank you that you speak to them and they hear your voice, and not the voice of the unknown, but hear the voice of the great pastor of the sheep, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace, peace, but I also speak healing, abundance, that there is no lack in their homes, Father. I know that many in the body of Christ need to receive a revelation. How the Apostle Paul spoke of the understanding of giving and receiving of that financial seed, an understanding of that financial covenant, because they limit you. And you are good and you bless them and you are merciful the best that you can. But those, Lord, which we are believing that are giving in the kingdom, we are giving so that this word can be shared through the TV, through internet, through radio, to take the word free to other places. I thank you that you said, I will honor those who honor me. Hallelujah, thank you for those people who value the word that is shared from here, who learn it in their lives, here and in other places, different places around the world. You help them, you bless them, you take care of them. You help them, you sustain them in different situations that perhaps they are going through, because you are their helper. And for that reason, Lord, oh, glory to God, thank you. We trust in you that this word, this holy word, thank you, Father, will fall in every spirit, in every soul, in every heart. Glory to God. It will make a great change, just as it changed our lives, to Nubia and me, and to many of us here. I thank you, Father. I forgot to speak on this, but still, thank the Lord. It's good to value. Look, a pastor and his family are burnt alive in an Islamic attack. They're in Uganda, in Africa. They burned them alive, the pastor and his family, because the pastor had 3 Muslims converted to the faith in Christ. And for that reason, the people were angry, all those radical Muslims, and they burned him alive. When are we going to value the liberty that we still have here of congregating here in the United States? You see that no one bothered us? Now that no one came in and said, hey, you have to leave now? Not a single authority here can do that. When are we going to value what we have? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is done in faith. God bless you.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.